بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالسخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين قال عنهم الرسول اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم أنا حرب لمن حاربهم وسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عادهم ومحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم فاجعل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغذيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم ومناقبهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. To be able to understand the stand of Imam al-Sajjad, to be able to understand Karbala outside and beyond the rituals of what we perform, we need to understand the deep philosophy of the very event of Karbala itself, and we need to understand the core reasons for which our A'imma alayhim as-salatu was-salam had taken so much trouble and have given so much in the way of Islam for us to be able to move from this position onwards and make sure that we progress and grow through the event of Karbala and beyond. In our discussions and trying to understand the reasons and the circumstances in which Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam delivered this subject, we must look at history and the reasons for Imam to have done what he did and the selection of words by our Imam alayhi salatu was salam at that particular time of what he was doing. For us to understand this thing is one of the most important. You cannot grow, you cannot understand and move forward without actually realizing what Imam alayhi salatu wasalam meant to say. Let us take an example from Karbala. When Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala said, "Hal min nasirin yansurna?" This was on the day of Ashura. It is something to think about for you and I. When Hussein ibn Ali said, "Hal min nasirin yansurna?" Is there anyone who will come and help us? "Hal min mughithin yughithuna?" Is there anyone who will respond to our istighatha, to our call of distress? "Hal min dhabbin yadhubbu an harami Rasulillah?" Is there anyone who will safeguard the sanctity of the teachings of the Holy Prophet of Islam? Is there anyone amongst you who will come and assist us? Think about this. Hussein left Madinatul Munawwara, but he did not mention this "Hal min nasirin yansurna." He had many people there. He had the whole of Madinatul Munawwara, but he did not say "Hal min nasirin yansurna." He came to Mecca. He left 28th of Rajab, 60 after Hijrah, from Madinatul Munawwara, and came to Mecca. According to history, he reached Mecca on the 3rd of Sha'ban. 3rd of Sha'ban to the whole of Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'adah, until Dhul Hijjah, 8th of Dhul Hijjah. You know what 8th of Dhul Hijjah is? Is known as Yom Tarwiyah. All the Muslim Ummah that is there to perform Hajj, I cannot give you the numbers because I don't know. History may just give an approximation of how many people there were. Until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, all the people who had come to perform Hajj were there. From all walks of life, from everywhere, they were there present, who came to perform their Hajj. It would have been wonderful if Imam alayhi salatu wasalam would have said at that time, "Hal min nasirin yansurna?" Is there anyone to come and assist us? Is there anyone to come to our aid, to respond to the call of distress that we are making? Is there anyone? But Imam did not mention it there. He walked from Karbala on the 8th of Zilhajj. He leaves Karbala, he leaves Mecca, and moves towards Kufa, intercepted by Hur, arrives Karbala. He has many companions, those who remained with him and died with him, and those who left him on the night of Ashura as well, were present with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not mention "Hal min nasirin yansurna" at that particular time. He lost Habib ibn Madahir. He lost Muslim ibn Awsaja. He lost Hur. He lost Ali Akbar, Qasim. He lost Abbas. Until that moment, Hussein does not say "Hal min nasirin yansurna." Suddenly, when there is no one, absolutely no one there, except Ali ibn al-Afghar, who is also known as Abdullah al-Radi', except him present there, and the fourth Imam, who is in the state of illness and suffering from fever in his own tent, Imam suddenly now says, "Hal min nasirin yansurna?" Is there anyone who will come to our aid? Is there anyone who will come to our assistance? Is there anyone who will respond to the call of distress that we are making? Oh my master, oh my Mawla, why not Mecca? You could have probably attracted hundreds or probably thousands more. My master, who are you calling upon at this time? You have given away your entire capital, your best, the one you called Awfa, the most loyal companions. Imam says, "I have not seen more better and more lawful companions than my companions." On the night of Ashura, Imam says, in that speech that he delivers, in that sermon that I call the sermon of freedom, which I will speak about in the later lectures, inshallah ta'ala, Imam says, "Hal min nasirin yansurna?" At that particular time, my master, why? Who are you calling upon? When you ponder over this, when you reflect over this, when you think about this, you will realize that Imam was not calling any one of the people who were there because he knew there was no one who had the heart to come over to his camp at that particular time. So who were you calling, my master? After reflection, you will have to submit and surrender to the fact that he was still calling upon those people who were still in the spines of their father and the wombs of their mother. He was calling upon you and I to come to his assistance. He was calling upon each one of you and I to say, I am seeking your assistance. For what? Not to come and give your head in the name of Islam. No. I am seeking your assistance. Not to shed blood for Islam. No. I am seeking your assistance so that you may carry this legacy of Rasulullah forward until the day of judgment. Whoever responds to this call is one who is known as Husayni. Having understood this, coming back to the khutbah of our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abideen, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. We come to this khutbah. We mentioned yesterday the circumstances in which Yazid ibn Muawiyah had kept our Imam alayhi salatu wa salam at that particular time. What was standing there, what was being presented there, was an announcement by Yazid ibn Muawiyah of his triumph. He was talking about his triumph. He was talking about his victory. He was displaying his own victory or thinking that he was victorious. At the same time, he was declaring that his ideology was free and the ideology of these people who are captives here is the ideology that is standing there helpless and captive. He was proving to the people and displaying to them that I have now become victorious, that I am the one openly using blasphemous language of saying that there is no such thing as a revelation that has come. The Banu Hashim have only played with this Sharia thing. There is nothing that has been brought. All this thing is being done by Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Imam seeks the permission. He says, let me sit on this piece of wood. Allow me to go and ascend this piece of wood so that I may be able to speak those things which will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Yazid ibn Muawiyah was not going to just accept Imam coming to the pulpit. He immediately refused. And he says that you cannot come to this pulpit. You can't, you are not allowed. However, the statements that the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam made were so powerful that this created commotion within the darbar of Yazid. And they actually reached a point where they forced Yazid ibn Muawiyah to allow Imam al-Sajjad to ascend this piece of wood so that he would be able to deliver. After a lot of resistance from Yazid, he immediately later on acknowledged and said, fine, you may say what you want to say. Now Imam alayhi salatu wasalam comes on this particular pulpit and he delivers his sermon. He starts, and I want us to observe the language that the Imam is using and the reason for him to use this particular language. In the beginning part of this khutbah, Imam comes on the pulpit and says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I am just reciting this in Arabic and giving you a translation of it, only the first part of this particular khutbah. But in this part of the khutbah, don't just listen to what I have to say. Imagine the circumstances in which Imam is delivering this khutbah. They are captives. Janab Zainab is there. Sakina is there. Yazid ibn Muawiyah is there. They are in total state of captivity and totally traumatized by what is happening. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam begins and he says, Ayyuhan nas, O people, u'atina sittan wa fuddilna bi sab'a. O people, we have been given six things and we have been given excellence over seven things. This is what Imam begins with. What are these six things that Imam says? He says, u'atina al-ilma wal-hilm. We have been given knowledge, wisdom, and we have been given patience and forbearance. This is how he begins. Look at and mark and observe the words of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Six things have been granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been favored by and given excellence of seven other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over seven other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. The things that we have been given by Allah that none else has been given to the degree that we have received is, number one, al-ilm wal-hilm. We have been given the knowledge and we have been given forbearance or the power to be patient. Was-samaha, we have been given dignity. Wal-fasaha, we have been given the power of speech, yani eloquence. Was-shuja'a, we have been given courage. وَالْمَحَبَّةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and we have been given love, or our love is in the hearts of the mu'mineen. These are six things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Mark the words, and then I will move forward to expand on these words. And what are those seven excellences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to us? وَفُضِّلْنَا بِأَنَّ مِنَّا النَّبِيَّ الْمُخْتَارِ. Allahu Akbar. We are those in whose family there is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is an excellence that is given to our family, to the Ahlul Bayt, that Muhammad the Prophet is from amongst us. وَمِنَّا السِّدِّيقِ, and Siddiq is from us. وَمِنَّا الطَّيَّارِ, and Ja'far al-Tayyar is from us. And Hamza is from us, Siddiq. وَمِنَّا الطَّيَّارِ, and Ja'far al-Tayyar is from us. وَمِنَّا أَسَدُ اللَّهِ وَأَسَدُ رَسُولِهِ, and the Lion of Allah, and the Lion of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amongst us. وَمِنَّا سِبْطَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, and the two youths of the youth, the two chiefs of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, are from amongst us. He uses this and he stops here, Imam, and then he carries on with this particular khutbah. I will stop here and just bring to your attention, why is Imam alayhi salatu wasalam using this particular language? Observe this particular language. It is important to understand history. It is important to know that history is not a lullaby to put somebody to sleep. We must know that history has a particular purpose and function in the life. It teaches you that which is of the past. It gives you that which gives you a tool to be able to envision and look at the future and see how the future looks. Those who study history can understand the present better. And those who understand history and present can have a good view of the future and be almost precise in many times. So the visionaries normally will give you a particular outlook of the future. It may not be exactly the same, but the predictions may turn out to be approximately around what they had predicted. It is not a mu'jiza that they know about it. It is their knowledge of history, having studied history, of what history can do for the future. So listen to this part of history and understand what Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is doing. He is using this particular moment and telling them about his ilm and his hilm. Why is he speaking about himself? Why is he talking about the worthiness of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam amongst these people? They have been brought there, paraded, they have been considered to be baghi, rebels, they have been considered to be people who have disobeyed the commands of the caliph of the time and the ruler of the time. Imam, why is the Imam starting from here? Remember, this is the place where poetry competitions used to take place in the past, during the time of his father, Yazid's father. Poetry competitions used to take place. Debates and discussions used to take place to degrade and make derogatory remarks against Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayh. Anything that used to gather the people. This topic of discussion used to be Ali ibn Abi Talib and curses on him. You know, in Salatul Jum'ah, the A'imma of Jum'ah for 70 years, not one, 70 years, They cursed Amirul Mu'mineen from all the pulpits of Jum'ah. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. You know, at the end of the Jum'ah khutbah, we recite this: Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. That was the end of the khutbah. This part was removed, and curses on Ali ibn Abi Talib at the end of Jum'ah khutbah were used to brainwash the people and to tell them horrible things and wrong stories about Ali ibn Abi Talib. A child that was born, whose father called him Ali, Muawiyah paid money to the father to change the name from Ali into anything. This is what was happening. Those people who wrote poetry were paid. The speakers were paid. People were bought. Scholars were bought. Anyone who wrote anything derogatory against Ali ibn Abi Talib in the best possible manner was rewarded and awarded whatever he desired at that particular time. Why? Just to remove the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the same Sham where the fourth Imam is delivering this particular khutbah. It is the same place where Ali was being sent la'nat upon Ali ibn Abi Talib. It is the same darbar where Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is delivering this khutbah. So, why is Imam praising himself? Why is he starting from here? Why is he praising his family? Precisely because he is delivering this khutbah in Sham. And he needs to tell the people of Sham. He needs to make sure that they understand what they have been told was in deep slumber. These people were sleeping. They were not aware. Advantage has been taken from them. Every possible media tool was used to make derogatory remarks against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now it is the same place. These are the very people who are hostile against Ali ibn Abi Talib, are the people who do not see Ali ibn Abi Talib as their friend. It is these very people to whom Imam Ali Salatu Wasalam needs to speak. He needs to penetrate their psychology. He needs to understand that these are the people who will now see what we are. They have to be shown the picture and the true meaning of who we are. So he begins by saying that these six things have been given to us. What are these six things? I have mentioned to you all the six things. Now, I also want to tell you what these people are and what was the effect of this continuous propaganda against Amirul Mu'mineen. One or two examples of this. There was a man during the time of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh, who came to Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wa salam. When he reached Imam Hassan and he learned that he was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he immediately started using a language that was inappropriate to use against the Imam. He said words which cannot be repeated here, but he said words to Imam Hassan alayhi salam in such a manner that the companions of Imam Hassan were extremely offended that he used those words against Imam Hassan. And they reacted and were going towards him to teach him a lesson when Imam Hassan stopped them. And he said, don't. Why do you want to do this to him? They said, why? But he is the one who has just abused you. Imam said, but it's not his fault. Do you know where he is from? Imam asked the question, do you understand where he is from? They said, yes, we know. He says, he is from Sham. That is what he knows. That is what has been fed to him. That is how he understands. And then Imam explained to him who he was. The man from Sham immediately repented from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, I was unaware that this is what you are. So you can see what the mind of the people was. Once a man from Kufa came on a camel to Sham. As he arrived at the city of Sham, there was a Shami, a man from Sham, who saw this man on a camel. He went to him and he told him to dismount the camel. And he took the camel, claiming that this was the same camel of his that was lost in the battle of Siffin. And now he thinks that it is the same camel that was brought by this man from Kufa that belongs to him. So they had an argument, both of them. And they came to the darbar, the same darbar where Imam was going to deliver the khutbah. They came to the same darbar and they started having an argument. And the Amir of Sham was sitting there to make a decision for the two of them. The man from Kufa said, "This is my camel." The man from Sham said, "It is my camel that was lost in the Battle of Siffin. And I can see it looks exactly like my camel." So the darbar people were sitting there and a decision needed to be made by the Amir of Sham. What was the decision? "What are the signs of your camel, O man from Kufa?" And he gave certain signs. Sorry, "Oh, what are the signs of your camel, O the one who is claiming that this is your camel from Sham?" So he says, "These are the signs." Most of the signs were found in this particular camel. And a decision was made by the Amir of Sham that this camel belongs to this man from Sham. I want you to listen to this mentality of the people of Sham. Decision was made that the camel belongs to this man from Sham because certain signs or certain things that were in that particular peculiarities in that particular camel were found in this camel, and therefore it belongs to this person from Sham. The man was from Kufa, was shocked. He could not believe his ears. He could not believe his eyes that his own camel was given away. So he said, one of the most basic questions to ask is whether this camel that he lost was a she camel or a he camel. So he asked the Shami, "Was it a she camel or was it a he camel?" The man from Sham said, "It was a she camel. It was a female." So the man from Kufa said, "Guys, look at this camel. It is a male camel. It is not a female camel." And now the decision has been made. But the decision was made. And the Kufi was deprived of his right. Once this incident finished, the Amir of Sham called upon this man from Kufa and said to him, "Go back to Kufa and tell Ali ibn Abi Talib that I have an army against him who do not know the difference between a she and a he camel. I have an army against him who, if I say it is a she camel, and they will not only accept it, but they will believe it. Go and tell Ali ibn Abi Talib that this is the army I have against him." It is to these people that Imam Zainul Abidin salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi is delivering this particular sermon. This is what happens when there is a psychological bombardment, or there is a bombardment of media, of news, of Allahu Akbar. How many things we will talk about the effects of the media in a while, inshaAllah ta'ala. But this is what happens to the minds of the people. When something is being given to them, they just continuously take it, sometimes without understanding what is happening. Once I was reciting a majlis somewhere, interesting, because sometimes we are so tuned to the status quo of what is happening around us that we do not even reflect or think or even ask a question of whether this is correct or it is not correct. Once I was reciting a majlis somewhere, by the way, and I made a big and huge mistake. It was a slip of tongue while I was sitting on the pulpit. In this majlis, towards the end, we normally say dua and we say, "Oh Allah, forgive our sins," and people say, "Ilahi Amin," "Oh Allah, do this." And so this was something that I had in my mind, and I wanted to, at the end, recite this dua and say this dua, and people were saying, "Ilahi Amin." By mistake, I said this in Urdu. "Parwardigara, hum bahut gunahgar hain." Our Lord, we are sinners. "Hamare gunahon ko apni bargah mein qubool farma." "Oh Allah, accept our guna in your darbar." This is the mistake I made. And I admit to it that I made this particular mistake. But my mistake was a mistake. You know what happened? The public said, "Ilahi Amin." The people who were listening,
They also say, Ilahi, I mean, it was a mistake that I made. This is what happens. Whatever came from whichever side, Allahu Akbar, they accepted it. I questioned myself, am I any different from those people who were being fed by Muawiyah and his cronies of what was happening about the Ahlul Bayt or whatever the news was? Or am I any different from them? Do I reflect? Do I think? Do I understand what I am listening to? What I am doing? Or do I just acknowledge and accept it and believe this to be the right thing? My fellow brothers, Imam Zainul Abidin is opening our eyes. And he is saying to us, these are the signs. This is what we are. And all these people are listening to our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Oh people, you have been played with. Oh people, you have been brainwashed. Oh people, you have been systematically misinformed about us, about the truth, about the reality. Advantage has been taken of you. Wake up from your deep slumber. Listen to what we have to say. Let me tell you the facts. That's where he begins. We have been given six things. One of the things is we have been given knowledge and ilm. Ilm and hilm, knowledge and forbearance. Meaning to say that in our time, in our era, within our family, there is no one who is uneducated. There is no one who lacks ilm. We are the people of ilm. We are the people who have been granted knowledge. Do you remember in the Darbar of Kufa? When Janab Zainab was enraged by something and she started to speak, our fourth Imam says to his aunt, Ya Ammati Uskuti, aunt, please keep quiet. Anti Alimatun Ghayru Muallama. You are a knowledgeable one that has not been given knowledge by anyone. It is the divine knowledge that you have. This, we are the people who have been given the knowledge. I am not praising myself that I have ilm. But you have been told we are jahil. You have been told we have no knowledge. You have been told we are baghi and rebellious. You have been told all these things. No, we are the ones in our family, in our household. There is none who has no knowledge. Each and every one of us is knowledgeable within our family, within our household. Imam continues with his khutbah. He wants people to know what hilm is. He wants people to know what ilm is. He wants people to know through these very small things, six things that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam mentions regarding courage and everything. He wants them to know as to who he is. And then Imam alayhi salatu wasalam continues. Before Imam continues, or what we discuss what he continues, let us just look at what media does to us. These were all media tools that were used. At that time, poetry was something that people enjoyed, and they used poetry against Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. There was debates and discussions that were taking place. People were being called. Anything that gathered five people, two people, three people, the discussion was Ali. Anything. And that's how they were able to reach out to the people against Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So even if Mawla himself came to Sham, these people were hostile against him. They had no knowledge about the status of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what media does. When we have blind imitation about certain issues, when we look at certain issues, when we think this is at this present moment, we are bombarded with information. It is almost addictive when we are, either we are watching TV, or when we are not watching TV, then we are surfing the web. If we are not surfing the web, then we are reading a newspaper. If we are not reading a newspaper, we are in social media website. If we are not there, we are on WhatsApp. If it is not WhatsApp, we are on BlackBerry. If it is not BlackBerry, there is constantly bombardment of various kinds of information that are bringing about various things within our minds. Some are beautiful, educational, wonderful, inspiring. Some are detrimental to our growth. And all these things are happening. The idea is that one who wants to sell this mic will try to get to you as powerfully as he wants to, and will want to make you believe. They say, you know what a good salesman is? One who can sell a deep freezer to an Eskimo. One who is able to sell a deep freezer to an Eskimo is a good salesman. It is absolutely true. We are being sold those things which are not things that we need. But because it comes across as powerfully, we begin to believe in it. Because Lady Gaga uses a particular type of nail polish, it is Lady Gaga. I want to look like her. If it is this particular dress that I want to wear, it is bombarded. It comes there. And if I am a fan, I will go. If this is the hairstyle today, I will follow. If this is the trend, I will do in all aspects, whether it is in religious, outside religion, it is all. We continuously do that. How does it happen? Where does it all come from? You will realize that it is this information, bombardment of this information that is coming across. And we begin and we start to take it. And when it comes there, we want to look like everyone but ourselves. We want to be like everyone but myself. I am deprived of being myself through all these things. And media is a huge subject in itself, but I do not want to mention it. At that particular time, this is what was happening. And our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayh, was trying to undo that which was already done, the damage which Yazid's father and Yazid ibn Muawiyah was trying to do. Imam alayhi salatu was salam was trying to undo this. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi talks about the importance of history and understanding history. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي... This is a wasiyah to Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein. He says to them, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٍ. The people of the past and the stories of the people of the past have lessons in them. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for those people who think. And then he says, أَيْ بُنَيْ, O my children, although I did not live with the people of the past, O my sons, فَقَدْ نَظَرْتُ فِي أَعْمَالِهِمْ وَفَكَّرْتُ فِي أَخْبَارِهِمْ. But I have studied their a'mal, and I have reflected upon the news that I have received of the people of past. So much so. فَصِّرْتُ فِي آثَارِهِمْ حَتَّى عُدْتُ كَأَحَدِهِمْ. I penetrated so much in the history of the people of the past that I counted myself amongst them as though I was living with them. It is through that I have been able to find certain pearls of advices for you, O Hassan and O Hussein. Therefore, do not look at history just as a story, but take it as an ibrah, as a lesson for you and I. Coming back to Imam Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. In the darbar of Ibn Ziyad in Kufa, Imam stands there and a man comes to him, Ibn Ziyad comes to him, and he says to Imam Zainul Abidin, who is handcuffed at this time, who stands there with his head bowed down, and Ibn Ziyad says to Imam Zainul Abidin, he says, Man ant? Who are you? And Imam Zainul Abidin says, Ana Ali ibn al-Hussein, I am Ali, son of Hussein. Listen to what Ibn Ziyad says to him. Ali, son of Hussein. Alaysa qad qatala Allahu Ali ibn al-Hussein? Did Allah not kill Ali ibn al-Hussein? Ibn Ziyad is talking to Imam Zainul Abidin. This is why I say we call Imam Zainul Abidin Bimar, and the impression that we give to our children about Imam Zainul Abidin sometimes is so bleak. This is Ibn Ziyad speaking to the fourth Imam. He says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ قَدْ قَتَلَ عَلِيَ بْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ Did Allah not kill Ali ibn al-Husayn? So Imam Zayn al-Abidin very politely, very calm, very composed, responds to him and says, قَدْ كَانَ لِي أَخٌ I had a brother, يُسَمَّى عَلِيَّ whose name was Ali. فَقَتَلَهُ النَّاسِ People killed him. Imam Zayn al-Abidin, very composed, very calm. He says, I had a brother whose name was Ali. قَتَلَهُ النَّاسِ People killed him. And Imam was weeping at this time. Ibn Ziyad says, بَلِ اللَّهُ قَتَلَهُ No, people did not kill him. Allah killed him. Imam says, he recites the verse of Quran. And he says, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسُ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the soul of the people whose time is up. It is his job to do so. Allah does not kill. He recites this verse of the Quran. When Imam recites this verse of the Quran, immediately he is intimidated. He thinks, this man has responded to me. And he says, وَيْحَكْ Quiet. بِكَ جُرْأَةٌ لِجَوَابِي You have the audacity to talk to me as a captive. You are standing in front of me. I am Ali ibn al I am Ibn Ziyad. بِكَ جُرْأَةٌ لِجَوَابِي You have the courage and the audacity to speak to me. وَفِيكَ بَقِيَّةٌ رُدَّ عَلَيَّ تَرُدَّ عَلَيَّ You have strength to even respond to me. And then he says to his guards, اِذْهَبُوا إِلَيْهِ فَضْرِبُوا عُنُقَ Take this man and remove his head from his body. Kill him. Janabi Zainab stands up. And in our language, I'm paraphrasing this. In our language today, Janabi Zainab says, What? You will kill Ali ibn al-Husayn over my dead body. You are not going to be able to do this. You will not be able to touch Ali ibn al-Husayn. At this point, Imam Zainul Abidin stops Janabi Zainab and says, Uskuti ya ammati hatta ukallimuhu. O aunt, keep quiet. Allow me to speak to him. And now Imam, with all his courage and strength, looks at Ibn Ziyad into his eyes directly and says to him, Abil qatli tuhaddiduni? Are you intimidating and frightening me with death? Do you know who we are? أما علمت أن القتل لنا عادة وكرامتنا شهادة Do you not know that death to us is a habit? Do you not know that shahada to us is an honor? You are frightening me with death. This is the same language that Imam Zain al-Abidin is using from his grandfather Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. You remember Imam Ali when he says, he speaks about death and he says, death to Ali ibn Ali finds himself Ali finds himself at ease with death more than a child finds ease to the breast of its mother. Ali finds himself at ease with death more than the child finds himself secure and at ease with the breast of his mother. This is the same language that Imam Zain al-Abidin is using. You are frightening me. This is a man who is a prisoner. This is a man who is a captive. This is a man who has women who are unveiled, who have no veils. This is a woman. He has women who are chained in front of him. No, it's the same darbar where Imam Zain al-Abidin was standing before he delivered this with his head down, bowed down. And a man comes to him and he says to Imam Zain al-Abidin, he says, Man ant, who are you? This is before this. He says, who are you? And Imam Ali salatu wasalam says, Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn. I am Ali, son of Husayn. He says, I don't believe you are Ali, son of Husayn. He says, why don't you believe I am Ali, son of Husayn? He says, the family of Banu Hashim is not scared of anyone. The family of Banu Hashim, when it meets anybody who is in front of them, talks to them, focusing their eyes on the eyes of the enemy. They are not scared of anyone. This is before this. They are not scared of anyone. Imam's head is bowed down. Remember, he has this collar which is extremely heavy, the nails of which are facing inside. Imam's head is bowed down. And then he says, do you know what? Had it been that you are from the family of Ali ibn Abi Talib, then you would have been like your uncle who had just come here. His name was Muslim. When he spoke to Ibn Ziyad, he locked his eyes with the eyes of Ibn Ziyad. He was not scared. But I see you with your eyes bowed down. I see you with your head bowed down, with your eyes looking down. And Imam As-Sajjad began to weep. And he said, true, it is true that my eyes are facing down. It is true that my head is bowed down. But there is a huge difference between the circumstances in which my uncle Muslim was brought and in which I have been brought. My uncle Muslim was alone. I have my aunt Zainab who is not in her veil. I have Sakina, who is not in her veils. I have my mothers and my sisters and my daughters and my children who are here. How can I raise my head before these people who are trying to humiliate us? This is Imam As-Sajjad, alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahu Akbar. It is so difficult to understand what went through Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. It is very difficult for you and I to be able to fathom the difficulties that were faced by Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, how can I look up when my mother, Janab Zainab, there was a time when Imam was entering, while they were entering the outskirts of Kufa, he began to weep and he cried. He cried so loud. He cried so loud and such a sorrowful cry that Janab Zainab was very surprised to see Imam Zainul Abidin crying this way. She said, oh my son, what has happened to you? When you saw the body of your father in Karbala, you did not weep this way. When you saw your brother's head in the spearhead, Ali Akbar's head, you did not weep this way. O Sayyidah Sajjad, why? What is the reason for this sorrowful cry? This is in the outskirts of Kufa, before the captive's caravan was brought into Kufa. Imam Sajjad says, oh aunt, did you not hear the announcement? Did you not hear what the announcer said? Janab Zainab said, no, tell me, inform me. He says, the announcer said, oh, the people, prepare the prisoners, for the bazaar of Kufa is ready for these people to be paraded. Janab Imam Zainul Abidin says, oh aunt, how am I supposed to enter this bazaar when you are unveiled, when my mother and my sisters are unveiled? سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون ما تم حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا عباس عباس